This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yes, it's Tech Talk and Geek Squawk. Just undo together with Matt Armitage from culturepop.com. Jeff, what do you have?
Yeah, Valentine's Day is next week, and I have absolutely nothing to look forward to. So for those who are looking for a special gift, well, we have a pick, as usual. And this time around, my pick is his and her zombie cologne.
Right.
So, you know, what better way to bring life to a dead romance than a zombie cologne, right? I mean, the undead fragrance comes in a his and her bottle and has an air of dried leaves, earth, mildew, moss and mushroom. Smells just like a zombie. This zombie cologne apparently is to die for. You can actually get it at overstock.com, and it does ship to Malaysia, because every time you do this one of these kind of, you know, giveaway of gifts, ideas, people always will complain and say, it's like, it doesn't ship to Malaysia. Well, this does. It costs 125 ringgit for the women's version and 145 ringgit for the men's
probably
version.
Not in time, but you know what says love more than...
Well, yeah, but of course, for married people, they actually give that odor off as pheromones anyway, so you know they've given up all hope.
Yeah. You're smelling all mushroomy.
Yeah, exactly. Mildew. For me, I think I'm going with a test of love. Back in the 1980s, Lego gave out 14 karat gold Lego bricks to a handful of its staff. There's only a few of these existing. Right. Now, one came up for auction back in 2012, and it made around £12,000. It's exactly the same size as a normal Lego brick. You can actually use it in your Lego. It's made perfectly. But if you really, really love someone, I think you have to scour the internet, the auction sites, and you have to get hold of a Lego gold brick, 14 karat gold brick, to give to your loved one this year. Otherwise, you fail.
Yeah, do a Google search on it, because it actually looks really, really good.
Yeah, like, it's fantastic. So nice. Of course, it looks a lot bigger in the picture. You're imagining like a huge gold bar, and then you remember that, okay, yeah, £12,000 for a piece of Lego.
So there you go. £12,000 Lego brick or 145 ringgit zombie balloon. Perfect. Anyways, Facebook is being pressured by a group of shareholders seeking the removal of CEO Mark Zuckerberg from the board of directors. Okay. A proposal has been put forward claiming that an independent chairperson would be a better fit and will be able to oversee the executives of the company, improve the corporate governance, and also set more accountable and pro-shareholder agenda. The idea for Zuckerberg's board ousting came from Facebook shareholders who are members of the consumer watchdog group called Some of Us. The organization bills itself as an online community that campaigns to hold corporations accountable on a variety of global issues such as, you know, climate change, workers' rights, discrimination, human rights, corruption, and the corporate power grab. Facebook, they have declined to comment on the proposal, but it's likely to issue a statement very soon as it files for a proxy filing in April. So it's a standard practice for shareholders' proposals. Lisa Lindsay, she's the capital markets advisor for Some of Us. She told VentureBeat that about 333,000 people have signed the petition requesting Facebook to improve its corporate citizenship, and 1,500 of those were actual shareholders of the company. The proposal cites new capital structure approved by Facebook last year as an example of where there was an imbalance of power. So during the company's shareholder meeting in June, participants were asked to vote on a proposal to issue a Class C shares in bid to keep Zuckerberg in control. Although it was approved, Facebook is dealing with litigation brought on by at least one shareholder who claimed this was an unfair deal. Issuing a Class C shares was intended to help Zuckerberg continue his long-term vision and encourage him to, you know, remain involved with the company over a long term. The plan came after Zuckerberg announced in 2015 that he and his wife will be giving away 99% of his family shares to various groups in bid to promote child equality. Obviously, someone's just not very happy in there. Now, having both someone, the CEO and the chairperson, isn't actually a unique situation for companies. Tesla, Bank of America, Walt Disney, IBM, Amazon, Netflix, Salesforce, they all have have one person sitting in both roles. So it's doubtful that Facebook will actually entertain to the group's demand, especially since Zuckerberg is one of the largest shareholders and he could just strike the proposal down easily, right? He just has to ally with a few other investors and done. But this actually sounds like a real movie in the making. We could very well see, like, you know, The Social Network Part 2 or something like that. You know?
We've seen this kind of shareholder activism a lot.
Apple.
Yeah, of course. No, but we've seen a lot of this activism from shareholder groups over the last years. And I think we're going to see a lot more, especially now that the US government's cabinet appointees are prominent people in the business community.
Elon
so
Musk,
I think we're going to see a lot more of this. And also we're starting to see things like some of the big international banks have started to divest themselves of investments in things like fossil fuels, partly as a response to public pressure, but also because, you know, they're seeing a lack of profitability in the sector. And they're seeing much more growth in these kind of renewable energy sources. So it is going to be interesting to see the role that people are going to have in influencing a lot of these companies that we've just become used to kind of controlling us.
Yeah.
Anyways, Matt has King of the Crowd back again.
I do, yes. Something a little different today. Crowdsourcing rather than crowdfunding.
Okay.
So we've talked about the Note to Self podcast from WNYC before. Every year they involve their listeners in a project. And this year they've chosen something called the Privacy Paradox. And it's all about our relationship between technology and privacy. So it looks at things like the ways that our smartphones are being used by app developers and the companies that make the operating systems. How the data is used, how big data can actually intrude into our lives. So they've published a short show every day this week, which you can listen to on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, or get it straight from the WNYC website, which is wnyc.org. You can also go to the Privacy Paradox website, which is privacyparadox.org, where you can sign up for a newsletter that will help you to manage and control the way your personal information is accessed. So it will help you with the steps to limit location services on your phone. So a lot of these things are buried deeply in menus.
Yeah.
So this is just to help you. The purpose is not to say how terrible this intrusion is, how terrible these companies are. It's simply to inform people about what data is being taken, what can be done with the data, and also what you can do about it. And then it chooses you to leave it leaves you to choose, rather, the level to which you have this, you know, you trade
control.
Off this paradox.
Yeah,
you have the control. So once again, that's Note to Self's Privacy Paradox. That's at WNYC.org.
Yeah, and if you're an Android user, you want a podcast app, download CastBox, C-A-S-T-B-O-X. It's a great podcast player because iPhone is easier. You just have to use the podcast
the
app within
one,
the phone.
Yeah.
But for Android phones, you need an app for that. CastBox is great. But speaking of like those, you know, talking about data and stuff like that, we actually wanted to run a story on smart TV. So if you're actually using a smart TV, you should be wary about, you know, it tracking you. Vizio, it's a company in the US who make TVs. You can buy them here as well. They just had to pay $2.2 million damage to the US FTC because they were, you know, spying on your behavior. So if you're an owner of a smart TV, just go onto your settings and, you know, just disable whatever tracking ability or, you know, the service that is actually active in your TV.
So what do they track us on?
They track your behavior of, you know, your usage behavior, what you're watching. And even if you're not watching, you know, digital TV, you're plugged in your media box or your PS4, it still tracks your behavior. It knows what you're watching, and these are the data that they sell and they make money from.
And some of them are listening as well. I mean, they're actually listening to what's being said, and they're taking what you have as keywords and all that kind of thing. It is quite frightening.
Yeah. So if you're a user, I know a lot of people have just recently gone out last year. A lot of them would have bought new smart TVs or brand new TVs, which definitely have some smart feature. And the reason why a lot of these TVs are costing really low is because these TV manufacturers are using some ways to leverage on the data that they're using.
A little too smart.
So there you go.
Yes.
So yeah, just be careful of, you know, if a new TV, just check onto your settings and then turn it off if you're the one of those who are paranoid.
But wouldn't it be cool, right, if you turned on your TV and it was just a picture of somebody else watching TV and your TV's watching you and broadcasting that to somebody else? That would be amazing.
And it'll be a brand new TV show. Anyways, Geek Squawks, this is a track. Geek Squawks is the name of the show.
We're all at it today.
Anyways, this is Kai. check this one out. This is Kai with a song called Into the Dark, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.